type of setup is. Let's just say that you've got a situation where someone says something.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting on January 25th. We're glad you're here with us. Look forward to any comments you might have as we go through our agenda. And also to our television audience, we're glad you're with us as well. As we begin our meeting this evening, if you would stand with us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to you this evening, Father, we come to you with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts for the many blessings that you have so kindly given to us. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your unending mercy that you have. Father, you continue to shower us with blessings, and we're so undeserving of even the smallest. Father, we thank you for this community in which you have placed us, this community in which you have blessed us with. Father, we thank you for the leadership that we have here tonight. Father, I just pray that you would give each one of us clearness of mind. Father, may we do what's in the best interest of this city and of our citizens. Father, we thank you for the citizens and their willingness to devote their time and efforts, Lord, to our community. And Father, we know that it's through your blessings and their hands that this community is the great community in which you have made it. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we just pray that you would just, your name would be honored and glorified in everything that is said and done in this meeting tonight. And we ask these things in him whose name is above all names. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary for the agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I have a couple of things that I'd just like to report to council on.
Okay.
At the end of the meeting.
Okay. All right. Is that all? Anything else? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Next item is the consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of January 11th, 2010. Any discussion on the minutes?
Mr. Mayor, I did not see when we talked about the item of buying the land from Woodside that when we sell it back to them, it will be at the same price. But it is clearly stated in the agenda item tonight, so I don't know whether we need to change it or not.
Well, I think if that was missed, then we do certainly need to add it.
I didn't see it. It's
add it to these minutes of our meeting today, showing that
it should have been. Clear. Now, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Approval of the minutes is amended. Thank you. Under old business, the first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
At this point in time, we do not have any appointments for presentation. I do know that some council members have given us some items for next time, and I do want to remind council that we are still looking for an appointment to the Aiken Corporation if some council member would like to desire to be on that board.
Okay, do we have nominations then that council would like to put on the board here at the table for next meeting?
Mr. Mayor. I'd like to nominate Susan DeBrule for the Planning Commission.
Okay.
She will be replacing Mr. Rucker, who has asked not to be reappointed.
Okay. Any others? I have one. A former councilman, as a matter of fact, Karen Papachato. We have an opening on the Park Commission, and Karen is, when she was on the City Council, she always showed a real interest in the parks. So I've asked her to, if she would like to be my nominee? And she says yes. So
excellent.
Any others? Okay. If not, they will be on our agenda then next meeting. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance conveying property along the closed Ligon Street right-of-way. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, I'll read this by its title. It's an ordinance approving the execution of a conveyance of the unopened and permanently closed streets known as Ligon Avenue Extension and Jasper Street to Georgia, Benton, and the Pine Lawn Cemetery. At the last meeting, we had a discussion on this as to who should be getting this right-of-way, which is a little over 25 feet in width. And it was decided at that meeting that the two adjoining property owners, the Pine Lawn Cemetery to the north and Georgia Benton, should be the ones receiving the closed right-of-way that has never been open to traffic. You did approve this at your meeting on January 11th. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving the execution and conveyance of the unopened and closed portion of the street known as Ligon and Jasper Street to the abutting property owners, Georgia Benton and the Pine Lawn Cemetery.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this on second reading. I think this is one of those situations where we call it a win-win. Both parties win in this, and I think it's greatly going to benefit the cemetery committee. So I'd like to move that we approve this on second reading.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any discussion?
Yes. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, at our last meeting, there was some discussion as to whether or not there could possibly be old graves on that property that was being bestowed to the homeowner there. Did we have an opportunity to check that out in between these readings?
Staff know about that?
They did not make me aware of it at all. Hallie, do you have that information?
As far as I can see, I'll have enough. Okay.
Please.
My name is James Hallie Holland. I reside at 328 Newberry Street, Northwest, Aiken, 29801. As far as I can tell, sir, there are no graves that we can identify that are in that particular area that's Ligon Avenue. Now, we had many graves that encroached. They were right up on the fence line, the old fence line, but I can't identify any that are in there. I walked it 2 weeks ago prior to this meeting that day, that Monday. I walked it again. But in our cleaning, we'll do some additional cleaning and moving of debris and other stuff. But should we find any, especially if they have markers, we'll definitely register them and incorporate them into the cemetery. So if we find any graves, especially with markers, we will register them and they'll be a part of the cemetery. Even if they're unmarked, we will identify them as unmarked and leave them intact.
Any questions?
Yes, the question was whether some were unmarked. They may not have a marker, but there was some indication that it may be a grave site without a marker. That was the comment that was made to us following the...
Right. If we find any, such as the sump, you know, mm-hmm. the depressed mm-hmm. area, we will contain that. We will make sure that, you know, it's not filled in or there's no debris or there no bushes or anything
okay.
growing through it. We'll keep that ill-identified and registered as an unmarked grave.
Okay.
Is there no instrument that can pan a certain piece of property and determine whether there's a grave up underneath the surface that's not visible to the naked eye?
Well, the city had the line surveyed, and I talked to the technicians, and I've also done some investigating myself. There are a couple of different techniques. Mm-hmm. One is a sonar-type thing where they bounce waves back. But the thing is, if there's an object down there, you don't really know if it's a grave or not until you excavate it or open it up or dig into it. It could be a large rock or what have you. But now if it's, especially some of the old graves that were wooden coffins, they deteriorated and there's nothing there but bones and you wouldn't get a ring at all. That's what they told me. Mm-hmm. But if it's some type of metal casket or a vault that's made of concrete or some other material, you would get an indication that there's something there. But the city did survey the fence line, the old fence line, before we put up the new fence. Mm-hmm. And it was only one that they had a contention about, but that was between, it was just encroaching on the line, and it was between the columns, so there's no problem there. Mm-hmm. And there was no marker whatsoever. No identification of a family plot or anything near it. So we couldn't identify it, but we did keep the place intact.
Mr. Holland,
yes, sir.
I mean, I have no. I know that the cemetery, Pine Lawn Cemetery, would be good stewards of any grave sites that may be found
yes,
on the piece
will.
Of property that would be donated to them. But my concern was on the piece of property that is going to the homeowner.
Ms. Benton.
Yes.
Oh. Right.
Is there some way we could?
Yeah, and we've looked at that several times. That area has been cleared, and we don't recognize anything there whatsoever. Our major concern was between the homes that backed up to this, because that area was fairly wide open. The other area where Miss Benson was at did have a fence line down a portion of it.
Right.
So and we feel fairly certain on her property.
And that other portion really isn't contiguous with the cemetery. It bordered McCormick Street, and it was between two lots there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's very unlikely that we would have graves that far up from the cemetery.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Holland, very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any other discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone Helping Hands to Plan Institutional, PI. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, I'll begin reading this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate located at 100 John Elliott Lane from limited professional to plan institutional and to approve a concept plan. This was presented at the last meeting. This is a 4.74 acre piece of property owned by Helping Hands that serves children from almost infancy to age 21, and they need to build another home for the children that are there. To do this, we need to change the zoning. The zoning that they would like to change, the planned institutional, was we put it into the zoning regulations just a few years ago just for this type of situation. The floor plan that they have in the plan concept is 5,000 square feet. They meet all the requirements that we have been asking of them. The voting at the Planning Commission meeting in December was unanimous to change this from limited professional to plan professional. And so for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property for the Helping Hand Incorporated from limited professional to planned institutional.
Okay. Thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. I defer to you. Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this on second reading and public hearing to rezone this property that Helping Hands is requesting to plan institutional. I think Carmen Landy gave us a very detailed report on our last meeting regarding the reasons why this should be rezoned, and I support that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Okay. Okay, any comments? Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise plan residential concept plan for the village at Woodside. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. And again, the title on this is the ordinance amending the concept plan for property located in Woodside Plantation. When Woodside was developed, phase three, part of the property was a village area just outside along Silver Bluff Road, and there was a 100-foot buffer along that area. The city of Aiken has been negotiating for an area to put a new well site in. In this pure case, a portion of this property is needed for this well site. The city has stated that if the council approves it and they approve the purchase of the property, which is later on in the agenda, that there would be a 50-foot buffer around it. The treatment facility would be built similar to a house, and we have discussed in the past all the reasons why we need this well site, not only for Woodside, but for the area surrounding Woodside. The Planning Commission unanimously approved the concept plan change at their December meeting. After City Council consideration, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the concept plan at the Village of Woodside to allow a water tank and treatment facility for the City of Aiken.
Thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance. Anyone like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the second reading of the ordinance as stated for the Woodside property to be used for a pumping station and a storage tank.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Under new business, the first item is the first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 119 Small Ridge Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by its title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken, certain property consisting of 0.25 acres of land owned by S&C Properties Incorporated and located at 119 Small Ridge Street, and to zone the same residential single family. This area is right off of Silver Bluff Road. It's really a number of smaller homes. Some are in the city, some are not in the city. And over the last 10 years or so, we've been annexing a number of these properties as septic tanks have failed and they have needed city services. So this is just a continuance of what we have been doing in the past. The owner would like to go ahead and come to the city so they can receive our city services. We are contiguous on a couple of sides. A couple of sides we're not, so this, once we annex this, then other properties will annex in the future in that area. The Planning Commission at their January meeting unanimously approved this annexation, and so for City Council's consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 119 Small Ridge Street under the RS-10 zone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Does anyone in the audience want to speak on this issue? If you do on any of these, just raise your hand and let us know, okay? Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we pass on first reading an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.25 acres of land owned by S&C Properties Incorporated and located at 119 Small Ridge Street and to zone the same residential single family, RS-10.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. Any discussion by council? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance to rezone property and to approve a concept plan for the Second Baptist Church on DuPont Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Second Baptist Church from residential single family, RS-8, to planned residential, PR, and to approve the concept plan. We've been discussing this project over the last several years. Over the last couple of months, we've talked more and more about a senior center and then an adult daycare center at this location. As we've been getting more and more involved with this, it's becoming clearer that we need to go ahead and revise the concept plan and to have a planned residential zone. Under the planned residential zone, council can require whatever they would like to of this property. Meanwhile, typically you'll get the developer to ask for areas that are going to have higher density of the property. And in this particular case, there is a higher density in the fact that in the senior housing area, there's going to be at least 40 or more units clustered in that area. The other area of this mixed use will have some single-family homes, just like they had planned originally, and then there's going to be the adult daycare center. So it's a combination of some commercial, multifamily, and then single-family residential, which requires us to go ahead and rezone this all under the PR. So although council has seen this concept plan under several different occasions, they're now ready to go ahead and ask for this rezoning so that they can move forward on this project. When the Planning Commission unanimously approved this at their January meeting, they had seven different conditions, and I'm going to read those, that the development comply with the concept plan and narrative submitted, and that there be a note added to the plan that the project will comply with the provisions of the plan residential zone at 4.2.6, that the concept plan show a 10-foot deep buffer along the northern property line that will be undisturbed as defined in the City of Aiken's tree manual, and that evergreen vegetation be added in the buffer to create a dense screen as determined necessary by the planning director. Three, that the concept plan be revised to show the location and number of single-family and duplex units mentioned in the narrative, and the dwelling unit density for the entire development should not exceed 8 units per acre, which is the case. Four, that the condition of approval be shown on the concept plan. Five, the design of the building be based on the elevation and narrative, and that the planning director be given the authority to approve the design of the daycare building, any single family or duplex units, and changes in the apartment building which he deems to be minor. Six, that a plat subdividing the property be submitted for approval and be recorded at the RMC office prior to rezoning taking effect. And seven, that the applicant execute an agreement listing the condition of approval, and that the agreement be recorded by the city at the RMC office within 90 days of the approval by the city. This is the first reading of this ordinance for rezoning and for the concept plan, and if council approves it, then a second reading and public hearing will be held at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for this item?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this ordinance rezoning the concept plan for the development of the property on DuPont Drive by the Second Baptist Church.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion?
I just have a question. Is this project going to be administered by the Second Baptist Church?
Yes, they have a community development corporation or nonprofit arm of their church that will be administrating this. And this 16.74 acres is of a larger 40-acre tract that goes really all the way to York Street and comes all the way down to Teague and Columbia Avenue. So they kind of encompass that whole area opposite UPS and then goes all the way back up towards the high school.
Now, are the individual houses they're building in that area, are they subject to taxation?
I would have to ask Harvey Ramsour, who's here. Some of those are, and if you could come up here.
I would assume this project tonight is not. It's obviously...
It all depends on how they structure it and what they ask for through the state.
I'm Harvey Ramsour, director of the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation. I live at 7 White Marsh Drive. The question was, are they taxable properties? We're a nonprofit corporation, and as we build units, particularly the 9 units that we're now in the process of finalizing a contract on, will be nonprofit, non-taxable. Once the units are completed, we will apply for a nonprofit status for those units. As we move along in further development, if we decide that we're going to have units that are home ownership units, then yes, they will be taxable.
Okay. Thank you.
And typically, after a period of time, the grants that they would be getting from the state have a limitation that within X number of years, it could be 10, 15, 20. Most of the time, then they convert to home ownership and they are taxable at the time. Now, the individuals that will be living there, they would be subject to other non-taxing items, but items that we would get in through franchise fees and other fees for those properties.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Sorry.
Any other discussion? If not, we've got a motion second. All in favor?
Okay, passes unanimous.
Item 3 is approval of a resolution to purchase land for the new water treatment facility off of Silver Bluff Road. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's a resolution authorizing acceptance of an agreement to purchase 1.6778 acres from Silver Bluff Development Company, LLC, for the development of a water plant. Over the last couple of meetings, we've gone ahead and changed the area of the concept plan for the village, which allows us then to purchase this property from Woodside to go ahead and put in this well facility. The well facility is needed. We did look at a couple of different sites. The first site was just south of our public safety station, and they wanted $779,000. It was a good site, but it was larger than what we needed and much higher cost than the $185,000 that we're going to be paying for this site. In this particular site, and in the agreement, it does have the provision in here that they will be able to buy back this property at a rate to at the same rate that we're paying on a square foot basis. Should they go ahead and need to buy this to enlarge the detention pond that's down there as they develop their property. We're pleased with this. It'll give us a direct access along an easement that's already out there to feed directly into the major lines in Woodside and also to the 12-inch line that's running along Silver Bluff Road down to the Beaver Creek area. So we would like to recommend to City Council that you approve this plan and that you pass this resolution to purchase this site at the $185,000.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the resolution authorizing the acceptance of an agreement to purchase the acreage we need from Silver Bluff Development Company.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Just a question I alluded to earlier. Should the fact that when we sell it back to them, it'll be at the same price be in the resolution? It's only in the backup.
Yeah, it's in the sales agreement, and I was
looking. Oh, it is, okay.
That I apologize. I was out of town last week, Thursday, and the sales agreement was in the last agenda, but it's not in this one. So it was meant to be in this one.
Okay,
and,
that's fine.
And it does say in the sales agreement that they have that buyback provision.
Thank you.
I just want to comment that 1.7 acres and $185,000 is a lot different than 779,005
yes.
acres.
So, it is.
Thanks for giving us another option here.
Okay, anything else? Any other discussion? Show of hands, please, all in favor. Bless you,
I'm sorry, yes.
I know you too. Okay.
Still reading.
Okay. Item 4 is approval of the jury box for 2010.
Yes, sir. We passed out just prior to the meeting a different memorandum. It's everything's the same in the memorandum that you have in the agenda package except for one item. The group that put together the listing of those that will be listed in the jury box told us last Wednesday, Thursday time frame that, oh, there seems to be some duplications of those that either had a driver's license or identification and those that are registered. So they went back and re-looked at it all, and the number of names in the box, which we originally had at 27,239, is now at only 24,551. Otherwise, everything's the same. What we are asking council to approve tonight, especially for the two new council members, is we literally have two boxes. One box has all the names, 24,551 names, that has been generated through a computer generation. And we will select every few weeks to a month about 50 or more names. Those are going to be our potential jurors that they are then notified that they're potential jurors, letting them know when the date for the jury trials will be. There may be some exemptions that they'll call back because they
maybe moved, or they've had surgery, or they just can't come. If you're a senior citizen, you could go ahead and ask for some exemptions. But every name's in the box, including yours. And you may get called, and that'll be fine. You know, the other attorney may say you're prejudiced. We don't want you at that case. But I'll just tell you, a couple of years ago, I got called on a city vacant animal control case in Carlson Park, and they let me stay. I don't know why. Maybe they just thought I'm not a very very fair-minded person. I like to think so. Anyways.
I read that somebody from Chicago was called for jury duty, but he got out of it.
You don't have to show up there. But we have this, and then once those names have been chosen, they do not return back the other box, and so they could at maximum be chosen once a year. And by law, City Council has to go ahead and approve the jury box. So for your edification and for your approval tonight, we are asking Council to consider approving the preparation of the jury box for year 2010.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Yes, I move for the approval of the preparation of the jury box for 2010.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. How about that? Okay, we had an item. The city manager would like to report on a few things, several things, I think.
Well, I wanted to report on a couple of different things, and especially I see our chairman of the Planning Commission here tonight. I did want to inform you that if you missed the headlines of the paper last Thursday, I think it was, or maybe it was Friday, it stated that the Chamber of Commerce is re-looking at the issue. They had some concerns about small businesses in the highway overlay district, the timing of this, considering our economic times, and they wanted to go ahead, and although they're still in favor of doing something to slow down the process and to have a little bit more discussion on it. For that reason, the chairman of the Planning Commission is going to be holding a special meeting Wednesday, Thursday. Let me see if one of my memoirs here. This week, Thursday, thank you. And it has already been advertised, asking the Planning Commission members to get together to cancel the public hearing that had originally been scheduled for February. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. I did pass around tonight, just for your edification, so if people ask you, a listing of all the different dates that this has either appeared in this Aiken Standard or in newsletters, when the letters were sent out, because I know I've heard a few times saying, well, geez, we've never heard of this. And maybe people haven't, but we have tried to let the public know more about this. The Planning Commission will take the issue up on Thursday, and they will relook at it sometime in the future. But again, they're feeling at this point in time there's no reason to go ahead and have a public hearing until they had a chance to look into this matter more, discuss it more with the Chamber of Commerce, and to see when is the right time to go bring this forward.
So it's a work session of the Planning Commission? No, just a gathering?
It's a public meeting called legally. We had to
advertise
the meeting and call the meeting in order.
Bill Reynolds, 1035 South Boundary. Because of the interest in the highway overlay district and some of the concerns that have surfaced in the last month or so, we felt like this is too important to the community to move forward without having really thought this through and reflecting on more input. So what we have to do legally is to have a public meeting in order to vote to postpone the meeting that we had scheduled for a public hearing on February the 9th. So that's what will happen this Thursday. We will meet. The public is invited. The only issue that we'll be talking about is whether or not we should postpone the public hearing of February 9th on the highway overlay district. And if anybody has, you know, if anybody wants to comment on whether we ought to postpone or not, they'll be invited to a comment.
And it's here?
That's here in Chambers.
And what time?
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock Thursday.
Yeah.
I got a question. There was also a second meeting for the city. I think the DRB. There was another meeting that the DRB was going to have in March. Will that also consequently be pushed back?
I'll let McDonald Law is here, and he can certainly answer that. They have a work session this coming Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That is, I understand that they were going to consider some of this latest written input, and then what will happen from there, I'm not sure, but McDonald could address that.
Thank you.
I know that there are some concerns about not knowing about this process, about whether or not we ought to have a highway overlay district and what should it look like. And to me, the issue is what our community wants our highways to look like, in 20, 25 years. And it's a community decision. And so we need to get the input. We've been at it. The city has gone to unusual lengths over the last 10 months to try to get input. And the concept of a overlay district is certainly known to us. We have the historic overlay district and the Old Lake and overlay district. And our neighbor, North Augusta, has a highway overlay district. Evans has a what they call a town center overlay district, but it deals with architecture on major roads in Evans. So this concept is not not unusual. Some people are saying, this is going to result in a cookie cutter. And they're having trouble reading the regulations and proposed regulations and understanding them. And if you want to see what the guidelines will allow, the proposed guidelines, you can go look at the shops on Whiskey Road. You can look at the Walmart Plaza on Richland. You can look at the Atlanta Bread Company. Those, for the most part, with just a couple of tiny little tweaks, would have met the proposed design guidelines. The Walgreens, the new Walgreens, is very close. And probably had these design guidelines been in place, it would have been, when people knew about it in advance, they probably would have been able to alter their plans to comply. Now, there have been projects that would not have met the guidelines. And so I think the issue before the community is, what do we want those guidelines to be? Do we want a highway overlay district? So that as the roads evolve over the years, we know what they're going to look like. And that's, to me, that's it in a nutshell. So I know you've been hearing a lot about this, but if you want to see living proof of what these guidelines would result in, go look at the shops on Whiskey, the Walmart Plaza, Atlanta Bread Company, and that'll give you an idea.
Bill, if you meet and agree to cancel the meeting, then what? Does that mean, as far as the Planning Commission is concerned, this ends the concept of a highway overlay district?
Oh no. We have to decide. And I know this is confusing for a lot of people, but the Planning Commission is responsible for recommending an ordinance that creates the highway overlay district. The DRB is responsible for developing and recommending the design guidelines, and they're two very different. And we've been proceeding on a parallel path. But really, you have to have the ordinance created before you can then vote on the guidelines. And so it's kind of tricky because we're trying to have a moving target here now. We have a lot of input and some concern registered from parts of the community, and we're trying to take that all into consideration and yet move forward in a way that the community is heard and then ultimately will make some recommendation to council on whether we ought to have an overlay district, and if we do, then what the guidelines ought to be.
I'm just trying to understand the path. If you meet on Thursday and you decide you're going to have your February 9th meeting, that's fine. But if you meet on Thursday and the consensus is we're not going to have our February 9th meeting, what should the community then expect from the Planning Commission with regard to this issue?
I think the Planning Commission... And I don't want to speak, McDonald, if you want to come up here, because you have a dog in this hunt, but I think the two bodies need to get together and reassess the path forward. Because it makes no sense for us to go one way and them to go the other. So I think we need to work out a path forward. And I can't tell you what that
okay.
is.
Thank you.
And let me make this comment that over the last 6 months to a year, City Council, even without the highway overlay, has taken projects like the Waffle House and like Walgreens and asked them to change certain design aspects that would befit what we think will be possibly in the highway overlay regulations. And so we've kind of been working with them, and typically when a business gets ready to build or if there's major construction, we council has some input in that. And in talking to Ed Evans about this, I think your concern is, does this mean it's stopped and it's more of a delay and a regrouping before moving back forward again? And one of the things that we could all look at would be, one of the things the chamber has asked is, can we delay instituting this for 6 months to a year? And just for council's edification, when the smoking ordinance was approved a little over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, we approved it saying it would not take effect for 6 months. In other words, giving it time for the implementation, giving time for individuals to understand what's going on. And so there's an awful lot of things that could play into this, depending on what comes out of the Planning Commission, what comes out of the Design Review Board, and then what council wants. So it again, it's like, as Mr. Reynolds said, it is two separate courses. One, you have to have the ordinance saying that we are going to have the zoning, just like we established a PI zoning just a few years ago that allowed Helping Hands to do what they did. Well, you got the zoning now. Now you need some regulations to marry up with it. And so there are two different levels. And then once they make decisions, they'll come back to City Council. You could spend a couple meetings or a couple of months or several months discussing this and making changes and everything else, especially in the regulations. So...
Yeah, I appreciate the time here, but we at our last meeting, we had a few people attend our work session with questions, even though we had already taken comments from through the chamber and all, and I requested that they just submit any specific comments they have, and they did immediately. Send in written, would call it constructive criticism. We'd like to go ahead and try to take that into account. So I think our intention is likely to perhaps put off our public hearing until we can incorporate some more of these comments. So it sounds like a couple of 3 months we may want to take before we come back to you all. That's about
McDonald, are the concerns surrounding people not having enough time to have thought through this and the impact that it would have on potential businesses, or is it... is it bordering on bureaucracy?
It's a little bit of everything, but I think really at the first time we went out to the public, it got to a few people, but then we had a second wave of comments from another group that maybe hadn't been as closely tied to the chamber committee that we worked with, and so we've been asking for comment, and I appreciated them coming back real quickly with something very specific. So since they have responded, we wanted to also respond back with maybe some positive reaction to their, you know, their input. So we just didn't want to leave out anybody who had some suggestions. So I look at it as a constructive, positive process at this point.
What I'm hearing from the community, from our citizens, from business owners as well as property owners that could potentially be affected by this overlay is, number one is, let's slow this thing down. Let's take a good, hard look at it. Let's see exactly how it's going to affect these businesses or business or property owners. Let's see if there are ways in which we can improve what we've got going. I've heard various things from different owners. Speaking of the four entries into our city, pretty much the four major entries into our city and how unique each one of them are, and that they would like for them to be able to keep that uniqueness that they have. Now, whether that would be an individual committee for each entry into the city that would be done similarly but different, so that it wouldn't all look the same or fit that cookie cutter type mold. They've brought up several different buildings that I think really add to our community that are a little different, that would not fit within this overlay district. And so, you know, well, just one of them, just say, for instance, the seafood place out on Whiskey Road would not fit within the current guidelines. You know, it has a rustic look to it, which it's designed to look like a lobster house in Maine, and it would not fit underneath the current guidelines, but I don't think that the Red Lobster is an eyesore here in the city of Aiken. So there's things along those lines that I think they're saying, you know, maybe it would be fitting on one artery but not the other. Who's to say that, I know we're more traditional here in Aiken, lean that way, but who's to say that a modern styled architecture is not a nice looking building? Would it necessarily fit within these guidelines? They're saying let's step back, let's don't push this thing through, let's take our time, let's work on it, and let's make sure that we have got the absolute best piece of legislation that we can have for our city, for our citizens, before we go forward with it. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. We're not treating cancer here, and it's not going to be dead by next week if we don't pass it. So let's step back, take a look, and do what's best for all parties concerned.
Most of the people that are talking to me about it are not affected by it. They don't realize that. And it almost is in the area of techno babble to them. What is a district overlay? What is an overlay district? What does it do? How does it affect me? I mean, it's just the basic questions. Even after they're told that it doesn't affect them because it doesn't affect residential units, and there was some confusion about that a while ago, but that seems to be cleared. But they just want to know how it's going to affect them for the most part.
One of the things I noticed, I may be wrong on this, but it said there were no exceptions or exemptions from the rule. How do you grandfather existing businesses in, or is it after the business departs that you rebuild? Or how do you, you can't expect, like, for instance, the Red Lobster to tear his building down.
No, I'm not familiar with that particular paragraph.
It was the Planning Commission that said no exceptions.
The University of South Carolina had asked for an exception.
They wanted to be exempted.
Exempted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Existing buildings are grandfathered. Existing properties would be grandfathered. So the Red Lobster wouldn't have to tear down to comply with these guidelines if they were voted in. At some point, if they wanted to renovate that building, or somebody tore it down, or they wanted to renovate it such that the cost was more than 50% of the value of the land and the property, then they would have to meet the guidelines. But that's
So if you're, if, for example, Kaumea Plaza right now, they're going through a major, you know, facelift. They're below the 50% threshold, so they would not have had to, except for if they do exterior painting, things of that nature. But the exemption is something that, you know, we will deal with. Initially, we said we didn't know, in the case of USC, we didn't know how to exempt them. I mean, if you just specifically said, okay, anybody that wants to be exempted will exempt, then you can't have an ordinance based on that. There's a relatively small piece of their property that's involved in this, that's in the city, because it's only property in the city limits, and it goes back 500 feet from the roadway. So I'm not sure exactly how much of their property would be impacted, but we would have to figure out a way to exempt them if in fact that's the community thinks that's the right thing to do.
My understanding is they have a strategic plan for expanding the campus as time goes on. Will that dovetail with your, or how do you plan on making it dovetail with your commission ruling?
Well, that's one thing that, you know, we've got to decide if there are going to be exceptions again. They go through six, as I understand, through six different review processes, state, county, and so forth, and maybe that's the basis on which you write an exemption. We weren't aware of that until just recently.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the other things that they and council will have to look at is right now we're talking about properties that are just inside the city. Well, what happens when properties that are going to receive our utility services of water and or sewer? And typically, again, you could ask for anything you want to. So let's take the USC Aiken property. Even though the majority of their property is not in the city, if you look at the bypass, there is a large area that's in our utility district. And if they want water, is council going to want them to go ahead and build according to these standards or not? In other words, you give them water, in return for water, you're asking them to build this way. And so the exemption is not just even on property currently in the city, it's what about other areas that could potentially come in the city at a future time.
Let me say that these design guidelines really are guidelines. And in most cases, we hope, if the guidelines are written well, that it won't even have to come to the design review board. The staff will be able to, you know, to implement the guidelines just as a staff review. If it doesn't meet the guidelines, then they come to design review board, and we have specific language that says if this does not meet all the criteria, but there is a reason for it not conforming, such as it's a Chinese restaurant and has to have a Chinese motif, we would welcome them to come in, and very possibly they'd be approved if they had a reason to not conform. So there's a lot of flexibility there, has to be.
We get, Mr. Mayor, we get high marks for our history in this town and for preserving and protecting many, many years before any of us sat in our seats. And what I'm hearing is, what happened to the common sense approach that we've used for years past in development, and why all the bureaucracy that people feel that it's being imposed on them? They don't understand clearly the reasons for the standards. Now, we want consistency, and we want to protect what we've got, preserve what we have already, but I'm not sure if the public believes that we're trying to just take them through a bunch of bureaucratic processes. We're delaying them, we're costing them money, and that's how many of them see the process. So whether it takes an education curve, I don't know, but I don't get great feelings about our process and why we do the things that we're doing.
When we were considering the downtown overlay district, how would you compare this to the public feeling at that time?
did they feel that there was a bureaucracy and layering on?
Yes. I'm hearing more and more of that.
Well, you know, ultimately, the community will have to decide what they want the highways to look like. You ask us to go off and develop an overlay district and guidelines. That's what we've been doing. They can certainly be better. We can, and we know now that there is more concern, and despite the fact that the staff is in the city have been advertising for 10 months, you know, inviting input. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot here just recently, and so we have to step back and consider all that. And certainly, we don't need to complicate
the process.
People's lives in the process any more than they want to be, you know.
Just to offer you a word of encouragement, I think a lot of the people that I've talked to who are very anxious about this got a letter and read what was in the newspaper last week, and they just kind of went overboard with it. But I think when they hear what's going on and what the process is going to be like, it might be that we will have fewer people who are really up in air about it. I think that we have to make it such that they could stomach it, but I do think that once they are more intelligent about it, once we get the education on this, I think more people will be able to kind of buy into it and realize that, well, you know, it doesn't affect my home. It doesn't affect businesses that are already there. And I think more people will be understanding of what we're trying to do once we get into the public hearing on this and once they understand what's going to happen. I think it probably will calm some fears.
I'd like to just compliment both of you gentlemen and your committees for this decision you've made. I think it's very wise to step back when we're not sure of what we're going to do. I think it's wise to step back and take a look, and especially the comments that we're getting, that y'all are getting, and the economic conditions that we're in. I think the process has been very good, though. We set out to get information. We've gotten information, and we'll continue to get information. And that's what we needed before any of our committees made decisions. So as far as I'm concerned, I think we're positive up to this point. We're hearing the people. We're hearing our comments. It's time to sit back a little bit now and go to work on understanding the questions and what we all want to do. I think clearly council asks you to get involved, and we want you involved still, because I think if everyone would speak, we want an overlay district. It's been proved. Historic districts. I remember when that started back in 2000, and you don't think that was easy. We all know this, McDonnell. You know well, also, and many people here perhaps remember that. It's never easy when you're doing the major changes, but ultimately it improves what we have, and it's going to improve these businesses too. And they may not see it right away, but people like to go to nice looking places. Bill, you've mentioned a number of places that I think we've all probably been to, and we enjoy going there. It's nice to look at when you ride down the street, Atlanta Bread Company, and those other places that do come up to almost those specs, or maybe they meet the spec. But ultimately, that's what I'm looking for, and I would think the council is looking for the same thing, and we all in the same team. But first of all, of course, we've got to listen to our citizens. They're who we all report to, so to speak, and get their input and do it right. And that's what everyone has said anyway here. So just summarizing my thoughts on it.
Let me just add, too, that one of the things that we have been applauded for in this town is listening to our citizens. And we have given, much like these meetings, anyone has, and the mayor, you often laughed about this statement to some degree, because you will let anyone come in here, talk as long as they want to, as many times as they want to. And so this has been applauded by our citizens, that we give everyone a chance to share what's on their hearts and minds. And I appreciate your considering all this as we move forward with this process.
Well, one thing to that point, Mrs. Price, we sent out, 1,800 letters we did?
Yes.
We sent out 1,800 letters asking for input. Mm-hmm. The only manageable way
to get that kind of request handled is written.
Mm-hmm.
If you had 100 people come in here, you'd have to filter through and try to boil it down. And so what we asked for was written input. Mm-hmm. It could be emailed, it could be faxed. And so that's really what we've been working with, is trying to figure out what all that written input said. And so some people feel like they should have been able to speak at a work session, but we were just trying to get through the written input. Mm-hmm. Now we have that, and we figure we can make it better, and then we'll have a public hearing, and then the public will get a chance to,
Yes. Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you again. Did you have something?
No, I'm ready to go to the next item.
You want? No, that's what I meant.
Okay. That was one of three items I want to talk about. That was the easy one. No, it's. I thought it would be good, again, just to keep you informed as to what's going on. I gave you a sheet tonight highlighting what they call the House Bill 3272, better known as the point of sale. You've probably read a number of things about this. You'll be hearing a lot more about this. It's, a couple of years ago when they came up with the new tax structure and said no property will have an evaluation, no residential property over 15% higher than the last appraisal. They felt they had a good compromise. The school district, which is the ones that are more affected probably than anybody, the county association, the municipal association, has been sitting down with the realtors on this. And last week, Wednesday, they had a compromise. The compromise basically said that on all commercial real estate, the commercial real estate would have a tax structure during the first year of zero. So in other words, let's just example. A property was appraised at $100,000 through the last assessment. It sells for $200,000. So year one, the base year taxes would go out at $100,000. The second year, they'd go up to 40%, then 60%, then 80%, and be capped at 80% above that mark. So it was all settled. They felt good about this. It was for commercial real estate because the realtor said that we needed to jumpstart the economy and it needed to jumpstart with the real with commercial properties. Thursday, as they were getting ready to vote on it, and all the senators were real happy about it, they got this compromise, and a note was handed to the senator who got the compromise and said, the realtors have decided to pull out of this. And they came back with another one saying, we now need to include the residential property. It's not going to be up to that 80% level. It only is going to get up to 60% level. And so things have kind of fallen apart. They were meeting this afternoon up in Clemson. On the back of your property, just a couple of things that you need to be aware of. And if you want to talk to your senators about this, it would be great. But one of the reasons why they were not dealing with residential property was when the sales tax was increased by one penny to support the school districts, all residential property got a major tax break from that. So just for instance, if you had a tax bill prior to that of $1,000, it probably went down to something like $600 because most of your school property tax was eliminated through that 1 cent sales tax. And so when this compromise was made by the realtors and the senators, it was like, well, we're only including commercial because real estate already got the tax break. Well, now the school district, now the residential wants to be included with the commercial. And so it's kind of like, what's going to be fair? Right now, our tax structure within the state of South Carolina, it's almost like you're grabbing at little bits here and there instead of looking at the entire tax structure throughout the state, and that's what they need to be doing. So they're going to be debating this. It's going to go before the Senate again, either Wednesday or Thursday. I wanted you to be aware of it. Read it over if you've got questions. And if you feel so inclined, please talk to either Senator Massey or Ryberg this week about it.
There's also a radio commercial that I heard for the first time today painting the cities and counties as the bad people in this whole process because we're greedy and so forth, as opposed to the realtors who see the cause of the recession see this as the cause of the recession and the reason why people aren't moving. So that's a very disconcerting note from the realtors. We ought to be able to work together without that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, and as I try to go through our budget and other things, we have had some changes, whether it be in vehicle taxes, telecommunication taxes. Our city alone lost $1.5 million of revenue that we were getting. Just tell us what the rules are. We'll play by the rules, but let's not keep changing the rules over and over and over again. And that's every time we turn around, it seems like we're having to deal with new rules here.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how the citizens feel about the highway overlay, because the rules keep changing. So mm-hmm. it's the same thing here that we're getting from the state. And so we would just like them to come up with a fair tax system that'll work not just for this year, but for decades to come.
Let me make a comment about Roger. You mentioned we need to do what they need to do is look at the whole tax system. And Municipal Association for over 10 years has been trying to get this across to the legislature, that rather than these knee-jerk things, whenever a lobby group comes up and they change this and they change that, that they ought to have a commission to look at all of the taxes, everything that's coming into the state, and go from that perspective. The same thing we're talking about here in the highway. It goes for any major thing. You look for all the information you can get, and then you evaluate. Well, finally, last year, this commission was formed. And they've got the commission working. So this is something that really boggles me, because they've got it working. They've got the commission looking at all the taxes. But here they're on the verge, possibly, of here we go again, making a change. So I think that's what we ought to be telling our representatives and senators as well. You've done something here. You've set up a commission to look at this thing and study it. And they say they're going to come back, I think, within a month, and maybe even shorter than that. But now here we go again. And every time this happens, the 1 cent sales tax was, in my view, is a disaster. Because all of a sudden you've got the school systems taking away that property tax operating for the operating school part of the budget. That is a known quantity, and they can compare and they can plan ahead for that kind of thing. You're taking that away off the property taxes, and you're adding a 1 cent sales tax that you don't know what it's going to do from 1 month or 1 year to the next. And then we get into the kind of economic problem that we've got, and we see what's happened. I think our school system had their budget cut twice already, and they're looking at possibly another one. So to me, it's just a shame that our legislature will not go ahead and let this commission do its job before they bow to a lobby group that I personally don't know that it's going to jumpstart any economy. I don't see it personally doing that. But anyway, that's just my opinion. So I just want to add that little bit about the committee. They've got it. They're looking at it. And
well,
apparently,
as I said,
they're not going to let them do their job, as I see it.
You have some talking points here, so if a resident comes up to you or someone comes up to you, at least have something, a little better familiarity with it. Last item is I'll leave you with some good news. 15 years ago, the city of Aiken decided to have a TIF, tax increment financing district. The district went to from basically York Street down to Park Avenue, from Union Street over to Pendleton. This approximately 8-block area took the value of the properties at that time and said that as the property values increased, or if some buildings were torn down and new buildings built, any additional taxes that would come from that district would come back to the city and pay off any bonds or for any improvements that were made within that area. During that time frame, the city of Aiken borrowed $1.5 million to jumpstart and to do some major projects in the downtown area. Those included streetscape work, signals. It helped support the projects that were done. on Newberry Street where there used to be a car repair shop. It allowed us to buy the property where there's a parking lot behind Security Federal and to just do a number of great projects. So this is the 15th year to pay off that $1.5 million. Kim Abney just paid off the final installment. I have been very reluctant in letting loose of much of the money until we knew that we could pay this off. So we have paid off the $1.5 million, and lo and behold, we have a little bit of cash left over. And I almost hate to say this because you say these things too loudly in the state or someone else is going to want a part of that money, it seems. But we have about $800,000 left to do some additional projects. And what I'd like council to consider or to propose to council is a couple of different things. That number one, as you probably know, we opened up a PAC office right out behind this building here. It used to be in the old bicycle shop. We purchased that property a couple years ago. Our final payment on that is due at the end of this year, and so our intention would be to take some of that money to make the final payment on that property. The second area is, I recall, and probably Beverly Clyburn doesn't even remember this, but about 5 or 6 years ago, she mentioned, you know, if we could get some money, that property we bought at York and Richland, which is next to the African American Cultural Center, could we not take it from open space and we could use some leftover money to pay that and then put that money back into open space? Well, we now have money where we can go ahead and transfer that and to pay off that property. That was $239,000, which will bring us back up to $1 million that we'll have available in open space money, which is very important because as we start looking at getting conservation easements and doing other things, we go from the $760,000 back up to $1 million. The third area and that we could use some of this money for is last week we approved the Sea Lane easement, which will involve some landscaping, some other things in that area. But as council is aware, we're going to be receiving a beautiful depot on May 18th, I believe, is the ribbon cutting, and that'll finish that building, and the cars will have a finish on the outside. But my concern is that between these two entities, right now it's gravel and it's not very attractive, and we're getting some cost estimates on it, but we could use this money if we want to go ahead and build a platform between the two. So in other words, right now if we want to rent out the depot, you might be able to get a small group of 25, 35 people in there, but if we had a deck out there like it's being proposed, we might want to consider using some of this money to build that deck, and the deck's supposed to have even a roof on top of it, which would allow us then to open this up for much larger events in that area. So I'm going to go ahead and write up some of these things for you so that you have more information. Obviously, it could be used for a number of other things, but it's got to be spent within that TIF area. In other words, we can't go ahead and use this money to do something at the farmer's market or to put it at Citizens Park. It's got to be used in the TIF area, and we have about $800,000 between the monies that we will need for the purchase of this land and to reimburse the land. That's about $500,000, so we still have about $300,000 available. Again, some of the other things that we could look at would be some streetscape in some other areas. I know that I had talked to Reggie Ebner earlier about the area just outside the depot. Could we go ahead and have a component similar to what we're doing in the parkways with some pervious pavement and some other things? But we hadn't planned for that, but we could use this money for that too. But I say all these things because of what our finance department has done, what Larry Morris has done within Public Works, that we have been very fiscally prudent and conservative with our money, which now allows us to have this extra funding that we weren't planning on to go out and do even more projects. My biggest concern when we started getting involved with this was, are the taxes going to go up enough that you could pay off that $1.5 million loan? That was my biggest concern. So the good news tonight is not only are we able to pay that off, but we have approximately $800,000 that'll be coming in that will be used for these other things. So if council had any questions on that, I'd certainly be happy to answer it. But I did want to let you know about that. It's good news for us. It allows us to complete several things, allows us then to take our other tax dollars and spread them for doing other things within the entire city.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Any questions? Very good. Good financial management there, I think. Yeah. We did have another event of the 175th Celebrate Aiken this past Saturday that was very nice. The trough, if anyone wasn't there or missed something, really did. And I want to take this opportunity to thank our chairman, Bill Reynolds, who is chair of the Celebrate Aiken 175th, for the fine job that he and his committee, steering committee, is doing, and of course all the other well over 100 volunteers. People have estimated maybe it's 200 or so who have worked on the events we've had so far. The kickoff was terrific, and the horse trough was a wonderful gathering of well over 200 people. And there are more to come, a couple every month. So that committee is doing a super job, and thank you, Bill, for your leadership on that. And yes, sir?
I'd be remiss if I didn't, in this gathering, to recognize Richard Pierce and the city staff, because they are a big part of the hundreds of volunteers you're talking about.
Right.
And we could not have done what we have been able to do so far with Celebrate Aiken had it not been for Richard and the city staff. So they've been most supportive and most appreciated.
Very good. Thank you, Bill, for that. We are a team. That's certainly true. Okay. There's nothing else. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. That was good with me.
Thank you.